Hallelujah. It is so good to have you here in Grace Walk this morning. I trust that you had a good week. We're missing a few people. Pat's out sick, and the Griggs are not here. But, you know, when it rains a lot, they frequently can't get out of where they live. And so we'll miss them today. Good to have Treva with us. Always good to have Treva. They're busy in their church, but every now and then she sneaks away, comes and meets with us, and we're so glad she does. And preparation for Memorial Day, may I just thank you guys who have been in the service. I know Brother Albert. Anybody else in this room right now been in the service? Brother Albert, thank you for your service. And I've never been. My dad's never been in the service, but many of my uncles have been in the service. I had 10 aunts and uncles on both sides, my mom's and dad's side, big families, and a lot of those were in the service. And one of my uncles served for many years on the, I believe it was the USS Alabama, and we got to tour that. You can tour that ship in Mobile Bay, and when I was in that ship going all through it, I thought about, I wonder if my uncle was here, you know, but we live in a society that has forgotten or is forgetting the value of freedom and the price that was paid for that. And so, good time to remember that. But I'm glad that you're here this morning. If you have your Bible, turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I have thoroughly enjoyed my studies in this book. We're barely even starting it, but it's got so much practical, good stuff for me, and it reminds me of so many different things, some of which I've forgotten, some of which I just don't apply consistently in my life, and so I need this reminder. And we're going to start off reading this morning in verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Let me read that again. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." There's something to be said for completing a task. There's something to be said for the completion of becoming something. And it's no different for the child of God. We were saved by God's grace, by His blood that He shed on the cross, and He started a work. Now, if you're like me, and most of us are human, we might have a few superhumans in here, but most of us are human, at times that work can get side-railed, detoured, because of that being human, because of this flesh that we carry around. But this is the good thing for us to remember, that whatever God started for you and for me it was at age 5, whatever He started in my life, He will complete it. I take great comfort in that fact. I have a part in that, but my part is in appreciation for Him completing it and showing my appreciation with my life. When I was reading this verse this week, I thought about a little chorus that we would sing as kids. Got a frog in my throat this morning, but the little chorus goes something like this. I am a promise, I am a possibility, I am a promise with a capital P. Linda knows it. I am a great big bundle of potentiality, and I am learning to hear God's voice, and I am trying to make the right choices. I am a promise to be anything He wants me to be. Good song for this verse. He started something in our life, and He's going to tell us in the rest of these four chapters in Philippians how it can be completed. Now, we started off in verse number 1, and if you'll remember, just as a very quick review, the Apostle Paul wrote to this church because he so appreciated their service to the church, to the people in the church, and to him. It seems that he was closer to this church than any other church by the language that he uses. And I think if you read the four chapters over and over, and if you see the theme of what's being said, one of the reasons that this church was so special to him was that they were so sensitive to God working in their hearts. And it started from the very first church member of the church at Philippi. Remember who that was? Somebody say her name. Remember that from 2 weeks ago? Lydia. Lydia was the first church member. She's out with a bunch of women there on the riverbank. And the Bible says it was a place for prayer. Women went to pray. And the Apostle Paul and Silas went to Philippi, and they saw those women over there by the riverbank, and they went over and started talking to those women. And the Bible says that the Lord opened Lydia's heart. Remember that? And that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And what that translates for me and you is, we're not going to hear Paul's voice. Okay, you know that. But we do hear God's word. And Lydia, the Bible says, attended to the things which were spoken of by Paul. And Lydia did that, and you and I should do that. We should attend to the things of God. And our desire should be to be sensitive enough to God speaking to our hearts and guiding us in the decisions that we make from day to day. And as a result, we should attend. You know what that means? It means to pay attention to. Pay attention to what he says to us in his word. And so he writes this here, and we see how precious these people are. And then last week we looked at how this correlates to what we had in our prior lesson from Hebrews 10. If you remember, we saw in Hebrews 10 that Jesus Christ was a new and living way, that they no longer had to go to the temple and do the sacrifices, those bloody offerings every year or every time period that they did them. That now that Jesus Christ was on the scene, he took their sin, he took their sacrifice, if they would call upon him, and it's done once and forever. He is the way. And here in this book of Philippians, what the Apostle Paul tells us is for us to live the way he wants us to live, we're going to have to do it in Christ, just like those old former Jews had to do it. And then we saw that when Christ went to be ascended to heaven and sit with his Father on his Father's right hand, he left here his Spirit. What does his Spirit do? It helps me to live from day to day. It gives me discretion in the choices that I make. And then in Hebrews 10, we saw that he gave us not only his Spirit, but he gave us his Word, the Bible. And we found out that he draws us. He desires to draw us closer to him at all times. And then one of the biggest things of all, you ready for this? This was the final one that he gave us from Hebrews 10. He gave us each other. He gave us each other. He gave me Beverly back there so I could learn my Bible with Beverly and have, you remember the word fellowship? It means communication, cooperation, and if you have those two things, you have sweet communion. And so he desires that Beverly and I cooperate together in spreading the gospel. He desires that Beverly and I look into God's word and learn God's word. And then he desires that we have sweet communion, both together with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we saw all of that from Hebrews chapter 10. And we saw how the Philippian church were doing that themselves. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have had such great praise for them. He's got more wonderful words for these people than all the other churches that he wrote letters to. And so Paul, in verse number 1, said, hey, we are bondservants. That meant we're gladly serving our Lord. And it's to all the saints. And remember, we said saint wasn't an elevated person. It was just a position, a right position with Christ. Because we're saved, we're saints. That is a position that we have. And it means that we're set apart for him. We don't always live like saints, do we? No, we don't. But he wants us to. He wants us to live as if we're set apart because we are for Him. And then in verse number 2, we saw where you can't have peace until you have grace, because He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. And it's always in that order. Peace always follows grace. It never precedes it. And then we go to verse number 3, and we see where Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What a sweet statement to make. What a great statement. And I looked at this, and I'm always looking at ways that I can apply to my life what I read. And I thought, am I looking, self-check here, self-test, am I looking at the people in my church family, at Bible Baptist Church, and am I looking at their strengths and thanking God for those strengths? Now, we all have weaknesses, don't we? And the same obligation that I have to thank God for your strengths, I have the obligation to not dwell on the weaknesses. That's what makes a church run well. That's what makes people get along together. We're supposed to get along. We need to look at our strengths and thank God for that. And the Apostle Paul said, I thank my God every time I think about you. He says in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all. He even includes those two women that are having a little problem in chapter 4. That might be not getting along so well. I thank my God for you all. And then in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And we saw where that word fellowship means the communication that we have, sharing the things of Christ together, the cooperation that we have in getting the message out, and then the communion that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from the first day until now. And then he leads right into verse number 6 and says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That word perform means to carry through. Oh, my friends, what he started on the day you were saved, he will finish on his own time. I like that, Brother Jerry, because sometimes I find myself doing something that does not please him. And when that happens, when that realization kicks in, that my conviction comes upon me, I have the comfort to know that God's going to get me through this thing, and he's going to make me what I need to be if I will let him. If I will mold myself, if I will follow his word, if I will listen to what he says, like that little song says, I'm learning to hear God's voice. And those times where I fail and those times where you fail, he will still complete his work in us, but he wants us to listen to him. He wants us to be attentive to his word, to pay attention to his word. So how do you do that? What happens in your life to allow God to finish what has been started in you? Well, can I go back to Hebrews 10 again? The first thing is be in Christ. Just like the old Jews had to get away from their bloody offerings and instead believe in Jesus Christ, because God had brought him to this earth to replace that old law of offerings and bloody sacrifices. We be in Christ. That's what the theme of Philippians is. It's the theme of glorious living in Christ. What does that mean, to be in Christ? It's the first thing. And then the second thing is that we use His Holy Spirit as our guide. That means daily in the things that I say, in the decisions that I make, in the way I treat my family, and the way I treat my coworkers and my customers, the way I treat the guy at the convenience store. I allow God's Holy Spirit to be my witness, to guide me through everything that I do. That's what he wants me to do. If he's going to perform his work in me, if he's going to finish what he started in, do the math, 1971, then I've got to allow God's Spirit to speak to me. And then I've got to get into His Word, just like Hebrews 10 says. And then I've got to desire to be closer to Him in my life. I've got to yield myself to Him, just like Hebrews 10 tells us. And then I've got to do the fifth thing. I've got to love you. Now, granted, that's easy 99% of the time. It's easy to love you. It's easy to serve you 99% of the time. But every now and then, that gets a little hard, doesn't it? Need to see some heads here. Yeah, it gets hard, but it's part of growing together. And if I want God to finish His work in me, it's going to be done in conjunction with you. That's a deep thought to me. Brother Albert and Judy, I need both of you so my work, the work that God's doing in my life, can be completed. Linda, I need you to get involved with God's work in my life. Isn't that a deep thought? I need you guys. You need me. We need to be together. So that's what he says in verse number 6, that he'll complete it. He'll complete the work, but he'll do it through Christ. He'll do it through the leading of the Holy Spirit. He'll do it through His Word. He'll do it through us drawing closer to the Lord. And He'll do it through us reaching our hands out to each other. Why are you hammering this point? Because this is the third week I've hammered that point. It just seems like in our church culture, not so much here, but, you know, sometimes here too. We come to church and we sit down because we've had a rough week. You've had a rough week, and it's so easy to come in here and sit in our seat and just dare somebody to talk to us or dare somebody to be nice to us. When one of the great benefits of being here is the fellowship and the love that we can give each other. I saw last week something that blessed my heart. And it was somebody reaching out to, I don't know if this person was a visitor, maybe they had been here, I don't know, but I didn't know them. And I thought, well, that's good. That's what we need to do as a child of God. And he says he's going to complete it. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And what he means there is until the day of Jesus Christ is consummated. When's it going to be consummated? When he's going to come back and get us. Until it's completed. When our Lord comes, the Apostle Paul says over in Ephesians 4, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I tell you what, one day our redemption is going to be here. It draws nigh. Now I was looking at this, before we go to verse number 7, I was looking at this, and I was thinking, anytime I want to spend a moment, I write the word application, because I want to make one more application in verse 6 before we go on. Okay, so we saw how God will complete the work in our heart. Amen? We saw how He'll do it in a number of ways, one of five ways from Hebrews chapter 10. Now, when you look back on your life, and when I look back on my life, can we see that He's done that up till now? I hope that you can see how He's brought you through times in your life when maybe you were not what you were supposed to be. Or maybe times that you were what you were supposed to be, but they were very difficult times. And so He says here as a reminder in verse number 6, hang on, because God's not finished. That's another kiddie song. God's not finished with me yet. It's a work in progress. And then He says in verse number 7, even as it is meet, that word means right. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Oh boy, He loves these people. Inasmuch as both in my bonds, remember He's in prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Now you remember that word for fellowship involved communication, cooperation, and communion? Well, they tell us, the people that know the Greek language of the New Testament, they tell us that that word partakers right there is the same word for fellowship with a preposition added into it. Partakers. We're cooperating. Paul says, you are cooperating. You are working with me together. We are cooperating together to spread the gospel. And I just happen to be in prison. You're not right now. But it's right for me to think of you because even while I'm in prison, in my bonds, and as I defend the faith, and as I preach and I give people confirmation of the gospel, you're all doing it with me. And then he says in verse number 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Why is that word bowels in there? If we look at each of the times the word is used in the Bible, it always means our passions and emotions, our deepest thoughts, our deepest attitudes within us, our bowels. Now, not to be crude in any way, but, you know, I started this program back in September, this health kick deal, and here's what I've learned. And we all kind of know this already, but I learned it officially from the doctors, okay, that I listened to on the road. Here's what I learned, is the bowels are connected to our feelings and our emotions. When you're hurting down here in your gut, you don't feel good, right? You could say that to a lot of body pains. I understand that. But I don't think it's no mistake that time and again the word bowels are used in the Bible because God wants to deal with our passions and He wants to deal with our emotion. And so Paul says, I greatly long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray in verse number 9, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now Paul prays that their love would abound more and more in, number 1, knowledge. Now that one we can understand. Because we see this all the time in God's Word, that He wants us to learn more and more about Him. Amen? We know that. Learn more of God's Word. You want to be closer to Him. You want that great work that He started in your heart to be completed. Learn more of Him. Get into the Word of God and find out who He is and what He wants you to know and how He wants you to be. We understand that. But the rest of that says, and in all judgment. I was thinking about this thing this week. Judgment, discretion, wisdom. We're to love with wisdom. Let's pursue this just a little bit further. We know that Christ wants us to love the unlovely. We're told in the book of Matthew over and over again to love our enemies, do good to them that despitefully use us. But that doesn't mean that we have to let our love allow us to be abused, okay? We're to love with discretion and with discernment in our life. Now, because of humanity, because of people being the way they, you know what? Christians can be the best people in the world or they can be the worst. Have you ever noticed that? A child of God that is running from the Lord and is backslidden as he can be and his heart's closed off to the Lord can be an awful person because they're so stepped away from where they should be, where they could be. And so Paul tells the Philippian people here to love with judgment, in all judgment. Now, it's easy to love when the people are nice to you. Amen? It's easy to do that. But when they're not, it's not so easy. And the Apostle Paul tells us to have some discretion when we're trying to love those people. Our Lord Jesus, when he was on this earth, had some very harsh things to say about the religious rulers of the world at that time. Listen to what he says here. There's pretty strong words here. Jesus said these words. Ye are of your father the devil. Whew. And the lust of your father ye will do. Now, if we're supposed to be nice to everybody all the time without fail, why did he say that? He's telling the truth. Listen to another one. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? That's from Matthew chapter 23. Now, that wasn't to the lost. That was to the religious people of the day. He called the devil their father. He called their mother a snake. Got right down to it, didn't he? Paul says to let your love abound more and more, but let it abound in judgment. Because there are some people, as you know, that will take your love and stomp on it. Just have judgment. He's asking us just to be discerning with what we do. It's kind of like that. I've told you this two or three times since last Thanksgiving. But I just had a soft spot in my heart. I was at the CVS parking lot, and this guy came asking for food, gave me this story about his kids. You know how you hear those stories. And, it's Thanksgiving week. And I looked in my wallet. I didn't have $1 bill, Linda. Isn't that terrible? I thought I had some money. I didn't have any. Valerie must have taken it. No, she don't get into my stuff. So I told him, I said, listen, I don't have any cash at all, but if you'll come with me into CVS, because that's where I was, there's a cooler in there with all these sandwiches and all these cold drinks, and I'll get enough for you, your wife, and your four kids. He said he had four kids. He got mad, turned around, and walked off. I mean, the anger in his face was visible, which tells me his story was not worth my charity. He's lying. Paul's just saying, look, we're supposed to let our love abound to each other, but don't be used and abused. Give your love to those people with discernment. And so my prayer is, God, help me distinguish between those that truly need and desire my love and those that would use me for their own gain. We've known people like that. You know, we've known people like that. And so he continues there, and I've got to wind this thing down. In verse number 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Here, we're to approve things that are excellent. That means to try things. That means to have judgment about things that are excellent, and that we may be sincere. Remember we looked up that word? We've already seen it once. And it meant, the strict meaning is, and it won't make any sense till you know the story behind it, but the strict meaning of the Greek word behind that word sincere is without wax. What? Well, there's a story there. You remember the story about the potter and the clay? The potter would take the clay and he had a table and a spinning wheel, and in that process he would make these beautiful vessels that would be put in an oven and they would be cooked hard and it would be this beautiful thing that he would sell. But every now and then in the process one would break, or just a little crack would happen on the surface. And there was an unscrupulous practice in those days of people, after spending all that time making this beautiful vessel, they would take hot wax and just fill the crack, just so they could paint it and get it sold. Person take it home, put something in it, it's out in the heat. What's heat? What's the wax going to do? Melt. Your vessel's going to start leaking. That's what that word right there means, sincere, without wax. Because if you're sincere, you're the real thing. You're the real thing. Paul says, don't have wax in your cracks. Be sincere. Approve things that are excellent and without offense till the day of Christ. When I see words like that, I think of old Samuel in the Old Testament. He ministered and he served the children of Israel for a long time. And at the end of his life, when he was being pushed aside because the people in their wickedness wanted a king over them instead of one of God's judges over them, he was able to step down from that position, stand before the people, and say, "Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken? Of whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith, and I will restore you." Samuel was able to end his leadership without any blame. And Paul says, listen, we're to love all people, but we're to do it in a way that's discerning and with good judgment. We're going to do it in a way that honors the Lord, and we're going to do it, we're to do it without offense. And that means that if I take these words to heart, I'm going to live my Christian life while offending as few people as possible. Now, real quick, God's word offends, does it not? Yes, it does. So we got to make sure, if we're giving the word of God, that it's the word of God offending and not my inflammatory language. Because you can take any hard part in the word of God and share it with a brother or a sister or your neighbor or somebody at work. On your front porch, you can share the word of God, the message of salvation, that we're all sinners and that we need the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our life. And we can sit there and we can apply the Word of God and tell about the Word of God to this person in a way that will either offend him, or we can do it in love with our arm wrapped around him or her and say, listen, I don't know anything, but I want to show you something here. Look at this, Romans 3:23. I want to show you this. Hey, let God's Holy Spirit do the work. And as far as living, live without offense to each other. See, there's so much practicality in this book. And it's just so wonderful that the Philippian church family were a people that lived in such a way that the Apostle Paul, he's not seen them now in years. He's in prison. They've lost contact. They lost contact for 2 years. They didn't know where he was. History tells us that. And here they finally found him. They've sent their pastor to him to give aid to him. And he writes this letter back and he says, I love you guys so much. And it's not a wishy-washy type of love, but he says, man, you're following the words of Jesus Christ with your life. And you're real. There's no wax running out of you when it gets hot. You're sincere. Isn't that great? God, help us to be the kind of church family that we need to be, and be sincere and without offense. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this chance to be in your house, and we see here in Philippians